As we enter our time of scripture reading, today's scripture reading actually comes from, there's a typo on the bulletin. Today's scripture reading will be from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42-47. I'll give you all a minute to get there in your Bibles. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And God bless the reading of his word.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone, once again. Welcome to our church. So glad that you could join us this morning. I actually want to acknowledge one more newcomer in our midst. This is my good friend Trey. He and his family, Tanya, Maddie, Luke, and Maddie are good family friends of ours. We met while we were in China, in East Asia. So we met while we were in East Asia and overlapped a few years, and now he's back at UC Irvine doing the international student ministry at UCI. And so just really very grateful. He's been doing evangelism training for us this morning, and he'll do it next Sunday as well. And so I just want to encourage you, please come out. It was really fantastic this morning, very practical, very clear, and I expect next week is going to be great as well. So I encourage you to come out if you can for that, okay? So why don't we go to, I'm just going to ask us to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to talk about this idea of what's a big deal about church membership. It's not the typical sermon, but I'll explain to you why we're going to talk about this. But before we do, I'm going to just invite you to just please join with me in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Father, you are our great God and our King, the one that we surrender our lives to. And God, you are the one that we also acknowledge. You are the Lord of this church, of CFC here in Monterey Park. And Lord, you desire for us to be a church that would just really reflect your Son, Jesus Christ, in the way that we love one another, the way that we love you, the way that we seek to make disciples. Locally here in our community, but around the world as well. God, I pray that as we talk about this idea of church membership, not the typical sermon, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would just take this and enable us to understand the importance of church to your heart and to understand the importance of our commitment and our role in that as well. I ask this would be a message that would be pleasing and glorifying to your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. So last week, I gave a message. We had, we witnessed two wonderful baptisms, Christopher and Whitney. These baptisms are just so, so joyful. I love these baptisms. I could do this every single day. I mean, I would do this every day if I could. And I talked about baptism, right? Just what is baptism? And a question came up, and I want to just address it really quickly. But someone asked this question, because I talked about how John the Baptist, that when he baptized, it was a baptism of repentance, right? So to be baptized is to say, I am repentant of my sins. I choose to follow Jesus, that I surrender my life to him. I receive his forgiveness. That's what baptism is all about. But then someone asked a question, well, then, how about Jesus, right? When he got baptized. Obviously, Jesus never sinned. So why did he have to get baptized? And very briefly, I'm not going to go into a whole explanation about this, but Matthew chapter 3, verse 15 tells us that Jesus got baptized to fulfill all righteousness. So obviously, Jesus' baptism was not of repentance, but one of complete righteousness, that he is the perfect, righteous Son of God. And so for him, baptism was something different than it is for us. And at the same time, that when Jesus was baptized, that it was really the official mark of his public ministry. So it's kind of the inauguration of his messiahship. God declaring over Jesus, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And so that's the official inauguration and declaration from God the Father over Jesus to pronounce that he is my chosen one who has come to save the world. He is the chosen king of the world. So that's what Jesus' baptism is all about. Well, last week I did talk about what is the big deal about baptism, and it's such an important thing to understand, but we do want to talk about what's the big deal about church membership. And the reason why we want to talk about this is because last year as a pastoral staff, we decided that we were going to review our membership policies and our member care policies. And to be honest with you, in a lot of churches, membership is nothing more than just a piece of paper. It's kind of just a formality. Okay, I want to join this church, and tell me where to sign on the dotted line, and I get to vote and do all those kind of things, right? That's what membership means in a lot of churches. And so it's not unusual in some churches to find a membership roll of like 300 people, but really like only 150 show up on Sunday mornings. Okay, so you have this bloated membership roll that really is nothing more than the formality, and it doesn't really mean a whole lot. But here at CFC, we don't want that kind of membership. We want to reverse that, and we want to talk about, well, what is membership? Why is membership important? What is meaningful membership in the church? So this year, what we did was we adopted a membership covenant. And I'm going to talk about this later on in the message. But you know, we adopted this membership covenant to talk about what membership signifies here at CFC. That's more than just a piece of, it's more than just a document. And so I'm going to start us off this Sunday, but Pastor Aang is going to talk about it next week and finish off talking about this membership covenant. And even though it's not a, you know, we've been going through the book of Ephesians on Sunday, it's not your typical message from the Bible, nevertheless, I think that everything that we're going to talk about is very much grounded in scriptures, you'll see. Okay, so we're not adding anything more than I think what the Bible really is talking about. So the first thing is this, when we talk about membership, we want to ask a question, so what is a big deal about membership, right? What is a big deal? In fact, is this idea of membership even biblical, right? Is it something that we just kind of came up with here in the 21st century, just kind of added to the church? Is it even something that's scriptural? I remember that when we were in East Asia, that in our international fellowship there, as one of the elders there, we had tried to institute a formal membership at our international fellowship. This is after, Trey, you had left, okay? So you weren't there for all that. But it created quite a stir, okay, in our fellowship over there. And there were quite a few questions from people. And this is kind of what they were essentially saying. They were saying this, well, what's wrong with our fellowship the way it is? Like, in other words, hey, we're gathering on Sundays, we're worshiping, we're singing songs to God, we're getting sermons. You know, why this idea of membership, right? I mean, this is good enough. And in fact, some people even kind of asked this question, well, I remember this is one of the objections that came up. This is a Western import that you're bringing to our international environment. Okay, so they said this is a Western concept, and you know, we don't find this in the Bible. So that's kind of what they were saying about it. Now, we want to take the time to graciously explain our position the best that we could, and then ultimately we let the people decide well, is this something that you want? We're not here to impose anything upon you that you don't want. That's not our role. That's not our job. So we're going to explain our rationale. We're going to talk about why we think this is really important. But you all decide among yourselves. And you can affirm what we feel, or you can deaffirm it, I guess. That's a word, deaffirm it. But it's something that you have to do in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. So, why formal membership in the church? Why formal membership? And the question really is, and it's a legitimate question, is it really biblical? Well, let me put it to you this way. If you're going to look for a verse in the Bible that says you should become a member of a church, you should sign this covenant and then participate in membership classes and be a member of the church, you won't find any verses in the Bible that state that explicitly. So that is true. However, I will say that the idea of church membership, nevertheless, is extremely biblical. And I'll share with you some reasons why. When the Bible describes the importance of church membership, it doesn't describe it it talks about it really in terms of why the church is so important to God and why the church is so important as a follower of Jesus. And it talks about it in terms of its place in God's kingdom, and it talks about church in terms of the way that church was meant to be lived out, the way that we learn to be connected with each other in real ways and meaningful ways of loving each other, serving each other, being this mutual commitment that we have with one another in Jesus of how to live our Christian lives before God. So that's the way the Bible would describe it. But let me give you four reasons from Scripture, in a way, as to why formal membership is really important. So number one is this. The word church in the New Testament almost always refers to a local body of believers who gather together for the purpose of worship, instruction in God's word, mutual edification, and all of that. That's what the word church refers to in the Bible. The word church comes from this Greek word ekklesia, and this term ekklesia in the New Testament is found 114 times. And on some occasions, a few occasions, it refers to this idea of the church of brothers and sisters around the world. You know, we all belong to the body of Jesus, universally speaking. But 114 times refers to a specific local body of believers, such as Corinth, Philippi, Colossae, Ephesus, etc. So 92 of the 114 references. And that in alone should tell us that to identify with some local body of fellowship of believers, to commit yourself to that local body, is very, very important to God in the New Testament. Let me go on to say this, that the Bible contains 59 one another's. So one another is, we're called to love one another, serve one another, carry each other's burdens, exhort one another, admonish one another, forgive one another, all of these things. 59 of these throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament. And so this really, when the Bible talks about this one another, it assumes that we are all committed to one another, okay? That we're all in these committed relationships in the local body of believers. We don't just come here to church on Sunday just to, quote, receive, and then we just go home. That's not what the church was meant to be. But as a passage that Nathan just read, Acts chapter 2, there's this real, real vital community under Jesus that we were all called to be part of. And without a formal commitment and identification to local church, really, at that point, as a Christian, we're like a spiritual orphan. We're kind of disconnected, okay, from one another, and we're not really functioning the way that God intended for us to be. So that's one. Secondly, the metaphors of the church in the New Testament, there are a lot of different metaphors that are used, such as flock, the body of Christ, But again, these all describe a specific community of Christians in that place, and identify those who are part of the church and those who weren't. So this is how the New Testament describes us as the family of God, the body of Christ, a temple of living stones, a holy nation. And all of these imageries are used to really describe a very, very collective identity that we all have, this mutual identity. So a lot of times, you know, we think of our faith as, well, it's me and Jesus, this is my personal faith. But really in the New Testament, you see the emphasis is on this collective faith that we have together in Christ. But third, let me say that Acts chapter 5, verse 13, there's this one verse that talks about, Luke records, none of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And this, the context of this verse in Acts 5, it's talking about how these two believers, Ananias and Sapphira, they had sold a piece of property, but they lied about how much that they were giving to the church. And so the Lord judged them on the spot. They instantly got taken up to heaven like that. And there's this fear that kind of fell upon the whole church and then upon the community, and says, and none of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And so this idea of join, actually, this word for join is a very, very strong word, but it has strong connotations of commitment. So this word join is even used in other parts of the Bible to describe sexual union in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, as well as our union with Jesus himself in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, or 17. So this word join has a very, very strong idea of that. But fourth, let me just say this, that the proper spiritual care in church government requires a membership of accountability. Proper spiritual care and church government require a membership of accountability. So let me read a couple of verses here about that. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Luke records, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul is speaking, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So there's this idea that church has these overseers, these elders, or these spiritual leaders whom God has called to care over the church. Hebrews 13:17, the writer says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Now, if you look at these verses, it's very clear that the pastors, the board members, but those who are in positions of spiritual leadership over God's church here at CFC, that we have a pretty serious responsibility to care over the flock that God has entrusted. But to properly care over the flock that God has entrusted requires that we know who is actually a member and who's not. Right? Who's in, who's out. That's what it requires. I can tell you that Pastor Lily, Pastor Ang, Pastor Rick, myself, we are committed to praying for you guys regularly. And we do. I have my membership role. I see who the members of the church are, of our English ministry, and as God has entrusted me with care over this English ministry, I go down this membership role and I pray for you guys individually. And I do this on a regular basis, but I'm praying specifically for those who are the members in the church, because this is whom God has put under our care. And as much as possible, you know, I would love to just sit down with each one of you individually and just see, how are you doing, you know, spiritually? What is going on in your relationship with God? Because, you know, we want to do that the best that we can. But to do that, we require this idea of membership, right? And there's another important reason, too. The Bible also talks about something called church discipline. So it's not a fun topic for some to talk about. It's not the most, obviously not the most popular thing to talk about. But the Bible talks about this idea of church discipline. And we cannot exercise proper church discipline if there's no recognized formal membership in the church. So Church discipline is actually something that's very, very good. It's a mercy given by God to the church. It's not a bad thing at all. It's a very good thing because when we practice church discipline, what we're doing is we're saying we're placing ourselves under the accountability of these spiritual leaders because we want to grow. We want to grow in our faith in Christ. That's what church discipline is all about. Well, let me just summarize it by saying this, that Douglas Miller says that in the New Testament, there's no such person as a Christian who is not a church member. Conversion was described as the Lord adding to the church, and there's no spiritual drifting. There's no spiritual drifting. So that's why it's important. Now, I just gave you four reasons briefly why church membership, this idea of formal church membership is important. But what I want to talk about in the second half of this is to talk about this. What are you committing yourself to as a member of CEFC? So when you, if you recognize that this is important, this is biblical, what in a sense are you saying that I'm committing myself to? Well, this is where the pastoral staff, we came out with adopted this covenant for our church. So this is the Chinese Evangelical Free Church of Los Angeles membership covenant. And from now on, what we will be doing is that every membership class or every new member who gets added to our church from this time forward, we're going to review this covenant with them. And we're going to ask that they sign and they commit themselves with their heart to this covenant. This is what we're asking. Many of you, because you didn't have the benefit of having this covenant before in the past, that's why we're going to talk about it now, so that those of you who are members will hear it now and that you'll see where we're trying to go as a church. But this is how it starts off. It says, having been brought by God's grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now, in humble dependence upon His Spirit, resolve to live by faith and so establish this covenant with each other. Okay, so we establish this covenant with each other. Okay, so now that we are saved by the grace of God through Jesus, these are our expectations with one another. We use this word covenant very intentionally as opposed to contract. So it's not a contract. It's not about, hey, you give me what I want. You provide the spiritual goods and services, and I'll give you what you want. You know, I'll volunteer my time or my money or whatever. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a covenant. And the word covenant is very important. Why? Because throughout the Bible, this word covenant is constantly used to describe God's relationship with His people and our relationship with God. So God always establishes covenants with His people all the way, even from Adam and Eve, all the way to the time, you know, where Christ comes and establishes His covenant with us as the church. But this idea of covenant is to really express this idea that we are wholeheartedly committed to God and to His purposes. This is what a covenant is all about. God, You have saved me. You have forgiven me my sins. You've given Your Son Jesus to me. I have this relationship with You, and now I want to completely give myself to You. I want to learn to walk in Your ways. And we talk about it in terms of our relationship with one another in the church as well. And I would say this. This is how I feel, that aside from your decision to follow Jesus, the most important decision you could ever make in your life, and aside from the decision of which person, if God wills, if God puts this person in your life, from the person that you choose to marry, right, the person that you choose to partner together with the rest of your life, I really believe that the third most important decision as a Christian is which church you will commit to. Okay, more than school, more than work. Why? Because church membership
is about saying, this is the place that I'm going to be fed God's word. And God's word to my soul is far more important. It's the priority of my heart. This is where I'm going to grow. This spiritually, this is where I'm going to grow, and this is where I'm going to serve and commit myself to. And these are my brothers and sisters in Christ that I'm going to spend all of eternity with, right? You're not going to necessarily spend all of eternity with your classmates or with, you know, people at your work, some of them, if they are in Christ, right? But to say that this is my family, right? This is my spiritual family, and this spiritual bond is even thicker than blood, right? Look around, right? These are people you're going to spend eternity with, like it or not, right? But this is your spiritual family. And God intended for us to really grow, tight-knit in that way, to be connected with each other. And let me say this, that the idea of covenant is this idea of commitment. So in a culture that is oftentimes very non-committal, right? Like, we don't want to commit to anything. It's like, let me think about it, hold off on that. We're afraid of commitment in our culture. We just don't want to go there, right? Say, okay, if I commit myself, I'm really locked in at that point. I don't want to limit my freedoms, right? I want to have choices in my life. And so in a culture that oftentimes is very non-committal, we want to emphasize, no, but the way of Jesus is a way of commitment. The way church is supposed to be meant to be a way of commitment to one another. This is how God intended for all of life and human relationships to flourish. Think about it, right? Like family, right? You are committed to your family, your biological family, right? You're there thick and thin, and you're going to be there for them. But family only thrives because you are mutually committed to each other, parents to children, children to parents, siblings to one another, right? But even school, work, wherever you go, you are going to be committed, right, to a certain degree or to a certain amount of time. You have to commit. If you're going to go for your schooling, pursue your education, you are like, you're just going all in to say, okay, I'm gonna do the best I can. I got to commit my time, energy, and sacrifice for this, or like with work or anything like that, right? So this idea of commitment is absolutely necessary. And why would it be any different in the church? Why would it be any different in the church, right? Like, if we're committed to all these other things, shouldn't the church, really one of the most important institutions, one of the most important things, I mean, it's our spiritual family, shouldn't we be committed to that, right? So this idea of commitment's absolutely essential. I talked about how baptism last Sunday, right? How baptism is, what is it? It's a public declaration of an inward reality. That's what baptism is. And so when we talk about church membership, what we're talking about is it's a visible commitment. It's this visible commitment to Christ and his bride, the church, and to serving and loving the church. That's what church membership is about. And I would say this, that even if you're here for just 1 year, okay, you know, a year and a half, 1 year, you're not sure where you're going to be next year, commit. Just commit to where God has placed you right now, right? You don't know, there's no guarantees about tomorrow. All we know is today, that God has commanded us to seek first his kingdom this day. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Today is sufficient for its own troubles. I mean, there's enough to worry about for today. So wherever you're at, as long as you find yourself this day, if you think you're going to be here for about a year, be a member. Be a member if you're a Christian. Now, if you want to talk more about this with any of the pastors, we'd be happy to do that with you. And one more thing I want to add to this is this. When we talk about covenant, this idea of covenant, it's not, again, something, we're not twisting your arm, okay? We're not saying, hey, you know, you better believe this, you know, you better commit to this. That's not what we're talking about. A covenant is something that you do because you want to from your heart. In other words, this covenant would only be something that you would commit yourself to because it reflects the truest desires of your heart. We're not asking you to do anything or to commit to anything that's beyond what you would want to do as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus. But if this reflects the true desires of your heart, what we're saying is, then be a member. Be a member of our church, because this is what we stand for. So what is this? Well, there are 10 articles in this membership covenant. 10 articles. And I'm going to briefly go through the first five, okay? And so let's talk about this. The first one is this. The first article says, we will seek... Oh, by the way, this is, I think, in your bulletin, right? Do you have a copy of this in your bulletin? Okay, so you can take it home and pray about it, look it over, talk about it, you know, with others. You know, feel free to do all that. We encourage you to do that, as a matter of fact. And if you have questions or anything like that, we would be happy to invite any questions you might have about this covenant. But the first article says this, we will seek by God's help to live carefully in this world, denying ungodliness and worldly passions. We will strive to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age as we wait for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me just share one verse, passage related to this. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. This is where this comes from. For the grace of God, next slide please. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14, this passage right here clearly shows us the indication, the relationship, right? We are committed to putting the gospel front and center in everything that we do as a church. So we're going to proclaim the gospel. We're going to put the gospel above all things. We don't try to follow traditions. You know, if this gets in the way of the gospel, we're going to like forsake those things. We're not putting methodologies. We want to proclaim Jesus. This is what we are all about as a church. But the gospel, as we proclaim the gospel, we're saved and we keep appropriating the gospel deeper in our lives. This is what Titus 2 says, right? That the grace of God, as we experience God's grace, the grace of God trains us to renounce ungodliness. It trains us to live new lives in Christ, to live self-controlled. So there's this relationship that the gospel is the fruit, but the root is always going to manifest itself in the way that we live our lives for God, right? Seeking to live our lives for God's glory, to deny ourselves, to say no to our sinful, to our sinfulness, to live our lives fully for Jesus. This is what the grace of God should be doing. And it should give us a zeal for good works, the Bible says. Like we should be passionate to be doing good works for God. So gospel foundation leads to gospel living. This is what Christ has given himself for us to do. This is what Christ does. So the way that we do this is this. Pastor Rick, you know, he prayed in this prayer. I appreciated this part in this prayer. But he talked, you know, as he prayed for all the different needs, and there's this one part in his prayer that I caught. He said that sometimes it's hard to pray for ourselves, right? Sometimes we feel God's love is distant. And sometimes it's hard for us to get going. So in those moments, help us. Help us to draw upon the strength of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I really appreciated that. We really need each other in the body of Jesus. It's not like, okay, I'm going to be zealous for God. I'm going to just go all at it alone. No, we need really good community. So that's why when we talk about church membership, what we're talking about is this, not just coming out on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings, yes, please. Corporate worship is important, but what we're talking about to help each other live lives that are pleasing to God is this, to get genuinely, vitally connected with one another in real, meaningful relationships throughout the week, Monday through Saturday, outside of this Sunday context. So that's why, for example, last year, we even came up with our CG, our community group system, because our community groups, we're actually meeting every single week, right? We take a summer break, but we're meeting every single week. We're sharing one another's lives. We're really connected with what's really happening in each other's lives, right? We're praying for each other. We're discussing scripture. We're sharing our challenges, our joys, you know, our burdens. We're sharing all these things with one another. And unless we have that kind of community, then how can we be living this out, right? So please consider joining a community group or a fellowship group, at the very least, a fellowship group right here at our church. But we need that for one another. Secondly, it says, we will defend and maintain an evangelical ministry in this church by supporting and upholding the preaching of the Word of God, the administration of baptism and Lord's Supper, and the exercise of church discipline. So we talked a little bit about this, but this really talks about, I think, our role and responsibility as a leadership, as pastors, what God has called us to preach God's word, the sacraments or ordinances, the Lord's table and baptism that we just witnessed last Sunday, and then finally church discipline, those three marks of what would constitute a church in a way. Okay, so those are the things that we're committed to. And then third, it goes on to say that we will seek to cooperate with, support, and pray for the pastors and board members as they lead under the direction of the Word and the Holy Spirit. So number two speaks of the role and responsibilities of leadership, but number three speaks of the responsibility of the congregation, the members, towards the leadership. And so the idea of supporting the leadership, trusting, giving your support, of seeking to affirm where the leaders are trying to take the church. But let me also say that it says, as they lead under the direction of the Word and Spirit. So what that is really talking about is this, that it's not supporting the leadership is not unquestioned, you know, obeisance. That's not or allegiance. That's not what we're talking about. As members, you have the responsibility to help to ensure that the decisions and the direction that we're trying to go is biblical, that is under the Word of God. If you see anything that's unethical, right, immoral, or that just really you feel is really does not go in the direction of God's Word, then call us out. Like, please let us know. We invite you, please, to do that. And so we're not talking about just unquestioned allegiance to just whatever the leadership does. You have the real responsibility to hold us accountable as well in that regard, and that's really important. And so we need that mutual kind of responsibility to one another. Okay, so this is really very, very important. But please, I would say this, pray for us. Pray for the board members. Pray for the pastors. We really, really need your prayers. We really desperately need God's wisdom and His direction. We can't, you know, this is not just a human institution. Like, we seek to really do what God wants us to do, okay? Number four, I'll go on to say, we will not neglect to gather together to pray for ourselves and others. We will faithfully attend and participate in Sunday worship services and membership meetings. So, as a member, what you're committing yourself to is to say that we want to obviously pray, but we want to worship God, and we want to make Sunday worship a priority. We want to schedule things around Sundays so that we could be here on Sundays. We want to say that God is the most important priority of my life. In fact, the way to put it is this: He is my only true priority in life, right? Everything else in life, whether it's school or work or family or those kind of things, they all fall under God's authority, His rule, and His reign. But God is really, Jesus Himself is my true priority in life, my one true priority. And so Sunday service is really the reflection to say, I come here because, God, You deserve worship. It's not about whether, you know, I'm getting fed or not, so to speak, or whether what I'm getting out of it. It's about You, about Your glory, and recognizing that You are central in my life. That's what Sunday worship is about. So making that the priority. And then membership meetings. So really coming out to membership meetings, hearing what's going on, being part of that as well, okay? Number five, and this is the final article, says this: we will contribute cheerfully, generously, and regularly to the support of the ministry, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel to all nations. So this really speaks of our financial responsibility as a member, that as a member, as we've been talking about through our offerings and all these things, that this giving of our tithes and offerings to God is simply just a reflection of our faith in God, of our spiritual relationship with God. That's what it is. So really making a commitment to give at least a tenth of your gross income in tithes, at least a tenth of your gross income in tithes to God through the local church, and then beyond to other missionaries, ministries, organizations, kingdom causes, as the Lord would lead you. But we really do believe that this is the New Testament pattern, and this is grace giving that we find in the Bible. So this is what the financial responsibility would be as a member to the church. Now, let me ask you this, and as we go through, we've just gone through the first five articles. Pastor Aang will cover the next five next week. But really, let me ask you, is there, as you read these things, and I shared several different scriptures with you, but are these things that are beyond the Bible? Are these things that the Bible doesn't talk about? I really believe that this covenant and the articles in this covenant really reflect simply what the Bible is talking about already, of what God expects of followers of Jesus and His church. We're not trying to add more things to it. I think this is just simply what the Bible says, and we've just summarized it in terms of the church, I think, right? And so when you become a member of the church, really, I think it's a great privilege and opportunity to declare your commitment to Christ and His people. If you're not a member of the church already, but you've been coming out to CFC, I would want to encourage you to please consider becoming a member of the church at the soonest opportunity. Any of the pastors, we'd be more than happy to talk with you about that taking that step. If you don't worship with us here in Monterey Park, but you belong to another church somewhere else, please consider being a member of that church, wherever you come from. But wherever you're at, wherever you're heading, please be a vital member of the church wherever God has placed you, whether Monterey Park or New York or wherever that God would lead you eventually, okay? And if you're a member, I hope that this serves as a good reminder, but also too, I hope that this more clearly explains what we consider to be meaningful membership in the church. That this is something, again, that is not necessarily anything more than what I think Jesus would want us to do. If you're not a believer, we would love to see you come to Christ, to say, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I need You. Forgive me my sins. I trust in You. I trust that You died for my sins, that You rose again, and I want to be Your follower. I want to follow You, Jesus. Would You please come into my life? And we would love to help you to do that if you are not a follower of Jesus this morning. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer, and please join me as we pray. Father, we have talked about a lot about church membership, this Sunday service, and in talking about church membership, Lord, we want to be faithful to what you have outlined in your word. We don't want to do anything that's beyond what your word tells us, but we don't want to do anything below what your word tells us either. We want to be faithful to your word, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be the kind of church that you had in mind when you gave your son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. The kind of church that would really glorify you, that would please you in every single way. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.